There's a television show out there called, or at least there was, it's now in reruns, called The Office. It was very famous in its time. And in one of the episodes, one of the characters in the program, Jim, was called to jury duty on Monday morning. Now, some of us in the congregation have had the experience of being called to jury duty. You call on Sunday night, you sit there and say, I'm with 3B, and they go like, okay, from this number until this number is called. And if your number is called, you go in. And sometimes it's very quick. You get there, you fill out some stuff, and then before you can sit down for lunch, they say, oh, go home. Or other times it takes a while. And sometimes you might even get chosen. I've never had that privilege yet. For some reason, they don't want priests on juries. I don't know why, but they don't. But anyways, but it is that. Anyway, so the character Jim was called to jury duty on Monday morning, and so he went in to his jury duty, and he was released at about noon that day saying, we don't need you this week. You can go home and go back to work. And he looked, kind of sat there and said, well, the day's almost done anyways. It's noon. There's only 5 hours more, right? And so he went home to be with his wife and child. Well, the next day, he said that his wife wasn't feeling too well, and so he just decided, well, I'll just tell a little lie. So he called the office, his place of work, and said, I'm still on jury duty. I'll be there when they release me. And so the lie began. Wednesday, the same thing happened. Thursday, he said he woke up and said, well, the week is almost done, so why go back now? So he called in again and told another lie. And until he came back on Monday morning. And of course, on Monday morning, everybody wanted to know what he did on jury duty. And so he had to tell another lie. Well, it was a hit-and-run accident. Okay, so what were the details of it? So he had to tell another lie. Where did you eat lunch when you were on jury duty? So he had to tell another lie. And finally, he got caught in the lie. But during the time that he was telling all these lies, he began hearing the stories of his coworkers who had suffered because of his lies, who had to miss things with their families because they had to cover the work that he was normally doing, that they had to go through some hardships because they were covering the work that he would normally have been doing. And of course, in the end, when the lie was exposed, you know, everyone looked a little bit different at who he was. And that is what we hear today in our readings, how sin begins to corrupt us, begin to have a corrosive effect on who we are as a person, a child of God, and how we live in relationship with both God and with the community, the family, the friends who surround us. Because very seldom do we tell a huge, big lie to begin with. I can remember the first lie that I told my parents. I was sure they could see right through me. Even though I uttered the lie, I was sure they would know right away that it wasn't the truth. And of course, as a child, you learn really quickly, oh, they aren't clairvoyant. They don't know it's the truth. Now, they do find out later when they found the broken thing and they're going like, who broke that? I know my sisters and brothers rat me out, right? Right, that happens. But normally, the lie doesn't start with something huge. It begins with something very small, very innocent, something we think is not going to do any harm to us or to others. But as time goes on, we're tempted to tell another lie and another lie and another lie. We're tempted to build that false person of lies, that liar that begins to deceive and be deceived in almost everything that we say and do. That's what happens in that original sin that we hear the consequences of in Adam and Eve's story in Genesis today. They knew what they were doing. Don't get that. Don't think that they didn't know that God didn't tell them, don't eat the fruit of that tree. They knew it. And they knew when they did it, they did something wrong. And when God confronts them with this something wrong, what do? Well, they lie or they blame others. Adam says, she made me do it. Which is a lie. She just said, would you like a bite of fruit? And she says, the serpent made me do it, which was a lie. The serpent told her exactly what God had said to her. God told you not to eat from that tree. But if you do, because I'll just twist the truth just enough to where you can sit there and say, well, maybe it won't be so bad if I do that the first time. But the consequences begin to erode who we are. They begin to erode the truth. And that's really what St. Paul is talking about in his letter, because he talks about the corruption of the body, that our body is a temporary place in this world. And that, yes, sin will affect our outer body, our mortal self. That's the truth. But the reality is what St. Paul is more worried about and what we are more worried about is that eternal part of us, that part of us that will live forever with God. And when we place sin upon it, then we begin to separate ourselves from the love of God. Once again, St. Paul says to us in another part of the letters, what can separate us from the love of God? Nothing except our own sinfulness. Nothing except for our own choices. Nothing except for what we choose to do. And as I said, it often begins with very small things. Maybe you're a school student and you sit there and say, well, I didn't get my homework done last night. I'll ask a friend to copy just the end of it. And then it leads to, well, maybe I'll just ask my friend to do my homework for me. And then it begins by looking on people's test papers and then finally beginning to try to cheat our way through life. And again, not starting with anything big, but starting with those small things, those small lies, those small cheats, those small amounts of greed where we sit there and say, I don't want to share this with anyone. And it might seem very small to begin with, but it's that holding off of generosity that prevents us from being more generous and more generous and more generous. Instead, we begin to hold on to more and more and more, to grasp at. God does not want us to grasp, but rather to share with open arms, open hearts, with our open soul. And it is that unity of God which we are called to share. Because that's how God calls us into a unity. He reminds us that when we separate ourselves from his love, then we separate ourselves from one another. We begin to hide as Adam and Eve did. We begin to call people crazy like Jesus' brothers and sisters, his cousins did today in the gospel. He's crazy. Why is he crazy? Because he is open to the word of God. And the people of the world see that as odd, strange, crazy. How could you believe in such a thing? We are called to search for that truth that lives within our lives, to renounce those things that keep us apart from God's love, from love of one another. That's why the church gives us that sacrament of reconciliation. That's why we start every Mass with, Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy, because we want to be in union with God. We want to seek that truth of who God is. Today we are going to hear, in some ways, how our church offers that truth to us. One of the things we do here as a Catholic church throughout the world is we invite those who maybe do not know Jesus Christ, maybe know him through another faith tradition, or maybe have fallen away from their Catholic faith. It's called the RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults. It's a time of discernment and conversion where we hear more and more about the love of God. And it's done by a team here at St. Lucie, just as it's done by many teams throughout our country. And it is that search for the truth. And so I'm going to invite John to come forward to share some of his testimony about that search for truth.